The book of Daniel, chapter 11. We'll start from there today. Let's read from verse 29. It's a portion I'm going to verse 32. But I'll read to be here and there and jump a bit until I get there so as to take it in context. So at the appointed time, I was talking about the activities of a certain time. He will return and come into the south, but this time, this last time, it will not turn away. It will not turn out the way it did before, for the ships of Kittim will come against him. Therefore, he will be disheartened and will return and become enraged at the Holy Covenant and take action. So he will come and show regard for those who forsake the Holy Covenant. And forces from him will arise. This is what we typically look at as the day of the Antichrist. And forces from him will arise, desecrate the sanctuary fortress, and do away with the regular sacrifice. And they will set up the abomination of desolation. And by smooth words, he will turn to godlessness those who act wickedly toward the covenant. But the people who know their God will display strength and take action. That is, let's just read verse 33, then I'll get back to commenting on 32. And those who have insight among the people will give understanding to the many. Yet they will fall by sword and by flame, by captivity and by plunder for many days. That is, until they gain understanding, I guess. Now, when they fall, they will be granted a little help, and many will join with them in hypocrisy. That is, they will join them, but in hypocrisy. And some of those who have insight will fall in order to refine, purge, and make them pure until the end time, because it is still to come at the appointed time. Now, please, before you get scared, I'm not trying to do eschatology here. You know they call it eschatology, right? Trying to analyze when Jesus is coming back and all of that. Just by the way, I was teaching this weekend. I don't know, some of you saw the flyer in the church where we were talking about preparing for the return of Jesus Christ. And I said there were two questions I had to answer to myself one time. That if they told you that the Lord Jesus was returning next week, what will you do tomorrow morning? And I answered that I would do the same thing I did yesterday morning and last week's morning. That is, I'm not going to change anything about my life at all, really. Well, of course, humanly speaking, you will be a bit, but generally, I won't do any, I'm telling you the truth. I'll still take my children to school in the morning. I won't tell them, you don't need to go to school, Jesus is coming back next week. You will still go to school in the morning. Are you getting me? And they will still cook in the house in the evening. All right? In fact, you have to eat some more, actually. All right. Now, you say, what are you talking about? I'm not trying to be careless. I'm not talking about living carelessly. The point is just that, even if you don't tell me, I should live on a daily basis as if he can return any time. So if I've been doing that, and you now come and tell me he's returning next week, nothing should change. If anything changes, then I'm living carelessly currently. That's the point. I don't know what I hear what I said. Do you understand it? That is, if somebody comes to me now and tells me the Lord Jesus is coming back, he saw him. In fact, they had already entered the train or the boat or whatever they are coming by. Just that they sent him ahead to come and tell you as a personal friend, all right, for old time's sake, that he's going to arrive by Tuesday next week, all right? And then I change my life between now and then. What that simply means is that whatever I was doing before then, I was living carelessly. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. So what Christians should learn, all right, is to live on a daily basis as if he was going to return tomorrow. I like to teach and explain things to people all the time. Now, I have digressed. In fact, talking to you now, I'm already half lost, you know what I'm saying, into another message entirely, but I'll try and get back. But let me just help us to understand that. As Christians, you must learn to do things purely because they are right. That's what I'm trying to explain, okay? You don't take care of children because they will take care of you in the future. That is an unbeliever's way of thinking. Do you follow my point? Your plan, your faith, because somebody said God reveals himself to the extent that we are willing to believe him, to trust him. If you start saying that, let me take care of my children so that they will take care of me in future, you will need them to take care of you. You will. You are going to be sickly, you are going to be broke, and the children will have to arise and be carrying you up and down, taking care of you here and there. But if from now you make up your mind that I don't need these children to take care of me in future, not because I'm proud, but because the Bible says that I will be fruitful in old age. Are you getting my point? That I will be full, I will be old and full of sap. That I will not become sickly just because I'm now 75. I will not become sickly just because I'm now 82. I'm not going to become sickly because I'm 105 years old. And you will live to be 105 years old if you so desire. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. And this is an important thing. Look, there's nothing as bad as a sick 105-year-old man or woman. It's not good. I'm going to be disturbing the whole society just that early. Do you understand my point? You're going to live to be that old. You're going to be fit. I told you, I saw a man on TV. And he just retired from running marathon. And I think it was 90-something or so. 93. And he was retiring from running marathon. May you run marathon at 93. Say amen, I beg. In the name of Jesus Christ. At the age of 75, you should climb upstairs and people will think there's that young boy that just passed. You know? It's important. The point I'm just trying to make is that so if you extend your faith for that, that will be your portion. That's just the way life is. That's the way life is. All right? Like I said something from the beginning, like ministry as an example, that I've never understood it. I said, we'll get it down in a moment. I settled and I said, why do ministries beg for money? That is, if you have need, you will beg. No. If you make up your mind, you're not begging for money, you will never beg for money. You learn to cut your coat according to the supplies that the Lord has given to you. All right? I know, and every man I know that has made up his mind from the beginning, they enter into ministry, don't ever hear them beg for money from the pulpit. They do things because they are right. That is, it will let you know that offerings are accepted. This is how the work of God is done. But begs, you are not bringing money. That's why we are broke. Never. And many of them became tremendously prosperous. And I testify that what is happening to us right now currently is that we need to extend our use of money to catch up with how much God is supplying. Say amen. Amen. And that will be your testimony too in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it means, that blessings will overtake you. They're very, very important. All right? Not only is it, it's as you extend your faith, all right, that God responds to you. So I just said that one. I know I digressed a bit. All right, let me get back to something I was saying earlier. So, Christians, what we do is what is right because they are right. I use that taking care of children just to illustrate. You take care of children because it's your duty as a parent. God gave you those children to take care of. They are not your investment for the future. Did you hear what I said? Children are not your investment for the future. God gives them to you. He said, train this boy, train this girl. These are the next, they constitute the next generation of men and women of God. And you, they will learn from, that is, they must be better than you. That's the point. The mistakes that you've made in life, they shouldn't make them. They should hear from you instruction. Now, so we do things like that on a daily basis. That's how life is. Anything you are doing, just ask yourself, why am I doing it? And the number one reason, the reason why Christians do things is because they are right. We don't do things because we are afraid of tomorrow. Do you understand my point? No, we don't. We don't. We don't. Let me give an example. As a young man, as a young woman, walking is the will of God. What did I say? Now I'm talking plenty. I hope I can get back to what I want to say today. All right? Idleness is not the will of God. Amen? Amen. What did I say? Is not the will of God. God never calls any man and says, I have called you for this in your life, be idle. No, you are busy doing something else. You may not be there running up and down. People can see you running up and down. But in every season of your life, there is something you are doing. Therefore, you don't say, I don't need money, so I don't have to work. I don't know that you're getting my point. You know, my father is very rich. That skyscraper in Abuja, he said, that's my own. If I collect rent from that, that's good enough. As a human being that God gave life, you must be productive. That's the point I'm just trying to make. So now, let me get back to where I started from. So if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, you now tell me that Jesus is coming next week, I shouldn't change my life. I should just continue doing what I was doing. And that's one thing you must be a man as a Christian. Structure your life in such a manner that anything you are doing is just being done because it is right. I mean, you don't close down your factory because Jesus is coming back next week. No, between now and... It mustn't meet your idol. Go and check those that Jesus Christ called. He called each person from where he was busy doing something. Each person is busy doing something when they go and call and say, come and follow the Lord. So God doesn't expect you. And people say there are no jobs. I've told you, there's nothing like that too. There's nothing like that. There are jobs everywhere. In fact, the problem we have in Nigeria, most parts of the world today, is that there are no workers. Yes. Now, not every job pays $5,000 a month, I know. But the major problem is that there are no workers. That day I was in Europe when they talk about there's a crisis. One day I was reading an article and they listed some jobs that they are having to import Asians to come and do in Europe. That skilled jobs, are you getting my point? Skilled jobs were still in abundant supply. But all those jobs that you don't have to have sense to do, those ones were finished. But skilled jobs that they were having to import, that this is Europe, they were having to import workers from Asia. When they needed engineers, they would go to Asia. They needed computer programmers, they would go to Asia. They were giving visas. That was Germany and some countries around there. They were giving visas to Asians to come and fill up job spaces. Yet the rest of the young people in Europe were all over the street carrying placards. Economy is down. There are no jobs. No, that what I've said is a matter of fact. But the point is this, as a child of God, there's always something that God has given you to do at each point. The reason why we often can't locate it is what the Bible calls the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That pride of life one is very, very strong. As a Niger boy will leave Nigeria, gets to America, will do anything. But he'll be telling you there's no job in Nigeria. That thing he's doing in America, he's at home. He wouldn't do it. The Lord is good. And I told you I knew seriously I digressed, but I just wanted to make my point. All right? Let's live our lives in such a manner, all right? If you are told that the Lord is coming next week, you wouldn't have to change anything. You wouldn't have to change anything. And believe me, your life will be sweet if you live like that. Yes, it will be sweet. Is that okay? Do everything because they are right. And if something is right, Jesus is coming back next week, you will not change it. He must meet you doing that which is right. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain there. All right, so, you know, I went into that just trying to say that I'm not trying to do eschatology. So I said, let me just do small, some things that make detailed eschatology sometimes unnecessary. All right? Which day is it coming? I said, what concerns you? I'm back to it again. Now I'm digressing again. Let me ask you a question. What's your problem with the day he's coming? I've read books before. The man calculated almost to the decade when Jesus will show up. Actually, he calculated better than that too. He called the book The Times of the Signs. You know, the signs of the times. His own book was called The Times of the Signs. That is, he wanted to put dates to things. I think I've seen two books like that. Now, this is my teaching for now, all right, based on understanding. Don't worry about it. What did I say? I said something where I was preaching there. I said, okay, Jesus Christ is coming back, okay, in 2035, as an example. But you can go and meet him in 2014. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yes, so don't worry about it. Live your life daily as if he was coming next week. On a daily basis, behave as if he's coming next week. So you mean I shouldn't do things that will take a long time to do? Listen, God doesn't judge you for getting results. He judges you for what you were doing. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, if God says, occupy till I come. He didn't tell you, you must finish it before I come. But when I come back, I must find you occupied. That's very crucial. Occupy until I come. It means that if Jesus is coming next week, Bishop will now come and say, Bishop, no need to come to finish this house. Maybe they are building a house. Is the architect on site? Hey, guys, everybody, wait. How many months do we need to complete this? They say 18 months. So the Lord is coming back next week. So everybody, let's just go home. That is sin. What did I call it? Sin. You're not occupied. You know what Jesus expects? Find you in your, what they call that helmet you wear at construction site. You wear that helmet, your boots, your ruler, whatever you are using to measure things, and you are on your foreman, you are parading the site. You want, if he gets you at home, sitting down and say, all right, we're waiting for the Lord, he will pass by your door. What he expects to come to construction site and find that you are there. I'm serious about it, I'm not joking about it. He expects that you will be at the construction site when he comes. He does not expect to be at home waiting for him. He said, be busy until I come. Be occupied with this. Occupy with this until I come back. Very important. So I just want to drop down. I just because I talked about it recently, so it's in my mind. I want to help people again. So when Jesus is coming back, let me just tell you the truth. It is not necessary for you to be worried about it. What you need is, listen, if everybody is committing sin, don't join them. Are you following my point? Don't join them. Don't say because he's still, we are not sure of whether he's coming. Don't worry. There are different kinds of comings. There are actually three. I'm not going to talk about it now. All right? There is one that's coming to wrap up everything that's happened on this earth. But there is individual coming which you can go and meet him any day. That's another one. But there's one crucial kind of coming in which nothing seems to change, all right, outwardly. But inwardly, the watchers in heaven, they look at your life, and this is the day of their judgment. You're only 25, you're only 30, but they've decided what your life will be like when you're 70. You don't realize that they have already come. You are still gyrating, waiting for when the Lord will come. But it's a day of judgment. When that, go and read how Solomon explained the Ecclesiastes. All right? He said, know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. I'm talking about young people. So as a young man, your life is going, as a young woman is going, there are critical points in your walk with God that certain final judgments are being made concerning your life. And that's why you have to be occupied all the time. Please, I hope you understood that. The Lord is good. Now let me now start again. All right? Let's get back to this. I just got distracted. So no, I said I was not doing something about eschatology. I just wanted to bring out an issue. Now, we'll talk about the Antichrist and all of that, but my emphasis is verse 32. He said, by smooth words, he will turn to godlessness, those who act wickedly toward the covenant. But the people who know their God will display strength and take action. The people who know their God, that is, it is the knowledge of their God that they have that gives strength to them and the ability to take action. Now, we have been talking in these our prayer classes, and the last few were sessions of it, about prayer and personal purification. And last time I explained the fact that, the last two times I've been emphasizing it, that people often misdirect their prayers, that we emphasize more on that today's Christianity. It wasn't like that at that time, but today's Christianity. People emphasize more on what the enemies are doing. Therefore, they spend a lot of time praying against the enemy. And I said, no, prayer is used for, not those kind of things. Number one, there's intercessory prayer we make for other people, that is to help them, for our country, for our nation, for our school, whatever situation we are in life, any environment that God has planted us into, all right? We make intercessory prayers on behalf of that place, all right? Anywhere God sends you to. He said, pray for that city I'm sending you into captivity, all right? He explained that. Now, but I also said that beyond that, when you are praying for yourself, there are important prayers you pray. You don't spend your time praying against your enemies. The reason is because Balaam explained that if the people are under the shadow of the Almighty, the enchantment that we are trying against them will not work. And sometimes when we are testifying about what witches, you hear testimonies like that. And I say all the time, what we do is that we are, now not here, you don't hear me say that kind of testimony. Witches were oppressing me for 5 years, and then finally my deliverance came last year, praise God. Now, when you hear things like that, what you are doing is that you are confessing your sins publicly, you don't realize it. That for 5 years, I was a sinner. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Yes, that for 5 years, I was a sinner. For 5 years, I was a liar, a thief, an adulterer. You are confessing your sins because that is the only reason. All right, okay, there's another one. I was very ignorant. For 5 years, I was basking in my ignorance. That's another one. And that's why those people could oppress you. You now come and be testifying. I hear people say that, hey, have you heard? The witch has confessed that they are the reason why I've been sick for 2 years. And they are proud of it. I don't get my point. And they are happy. Hey, have you heard? Rejoice with me. What happened? The woman finally confessed that all my problems were caused by their family. They have been doing evil against me. and that's why you have been sick. That's why this has happened. Please rejoice with me. They have confessed. And you know what I think? Like that, I'll just be shaking my head. That Christians will just be confessing their sins publicly and not realize it. That is, as a Christian, no, I don't know whether you are catching what I'm saying. Listen, if that happens, you know, it's the kind of miracle that you say, see that you tell no man. You should be too embarrassed. I say, Chris, how far? Pastor, don't tell anybody I told you this. Do you know that my sickness every July for the last 6 years is my neighbor? But thank God they have confessed, they have repented. That I won't be sick again. Now let me add words to it. But when my other neighbor now starts, the sickness will move to August. And if there are three neighbors against me at the same time, I shall be sick in January, August, and possibly December. Pray for me, oh, that they don't finally get me. And if they all agree, nothing shall be withheld from them that they are proposed to do, since they are all in agreement to kill me. I don't know whether you are catching what I'm saying there. Now, shame on such people. Yes, they should realize it. It's a shameful thing. You should not, I mean, how would you like it? I come out, say, Pastor, why is your cloth dirty? There's 1 5-year-old boy there. He beat me. I didn't do him anything, though. I was just crossing the road. The boy beat me. I was begging him. It's our neighbors that now came and separated us. You know you're going to look at me. You're going to look at me. A 5-year-old beat you like this, and your clothes are dirty like this. But if it were to really happen, all right, I won't tell you. Are your clothes dirty? Is it looking so bad? I'll dust it. Did somebody beat you? Yes. These young men these days, they are very, very terrible. He and his gang. Yes, all those worry boys that moved to Enugu. You know? Yes, what happened? Ah, they were Bakassi boys, three of them. And they had about 7 people surrounding us, cocking guns. I couldn't answer. But you will never agree that a single little boy beat you like that. Do you know why? You are supposed to be stronger than him. Now, you cannot imagine how Christians will now come and testify. They will now stand in front of television. Praise the Lord. And you see them, and they will be there. You know, talking about how small, small witches have been tormenting them. I know, you know the funny one? They had that joker in Lagos. You know, see them stand and I'll be looking at them and say, are you not even ashamed? Even if indeed it happened like this, you should hide. You should, before you want to test me, first start and say, shame, shame, shame on me. Everybody say after me, shame, shame. Let them be shout, shame, shame, shame on you, so that the shame is going to enter you first. You now confess, brethren, I don't believe it happened with all the Holy Ghost inside me. Please ask God to forgive me. How a witch could oppress me for 6 years until they confessed? What shall I do that there shall be no more oppression of witches in my... That's not to become to rejoice. That we have now... You know, that's the attitude. We've caught them now. They have been exposed. My God has exposed them. All the people that were... My God has exposed... You just see people displaying, you know, things they should be ashamed of. In case you do not know, it is you that your God exposed, not them. He has exposed your ignorance, your stupidity, your faithlessness, your ungodly fear, and your believing a lie. Yes, most of the time they are believing a lie. The one that now makes me laugh, people now say, I beg. Where did they do that one for you? That this ignorant people now join you. Follow me to the prophet. Everybody will now go there, and the prophet will be waxing richer and stronger. You know what I mean? Financially. Yes. At the end of the day, they are not better off than when they started. They are giving glory to the devil, not God. Magnifying the name of Satan. And then what they don't realize is at the end of the day, people live there more afraid of witches than being conscious of God's deliverance. Yes, that's what happens. So next time, your neighbor looks at you like this. Any eye that looks at me like that, it is your fear. You understand what I mean? Holy Ghost fire against the eye. Holy Ghost fire against the eye. Because somebody just looks at you like this. Remember, the man wasn't thinking about you. All the confusion of his soul is what was making his eye turn up and down. You now see people, the one that my wife said once, she was very angry with her friend. Somebody came to beg for money. You know, beg for money. Say, ha. Maybe it's that she prayed over the money first before giving the person. See, some of these people, they are not human, no, they are spirits. If you give them money like this, you will become poor. You've heard that kind of thing before? Going on, there's somebody touch you, you check your this thing, whether they don't disappear. Christian. My problem began after I entered one bus and somebody touched me. Somebody touched you should have gotten healed, not you gotten sick. You get what I'm trying to say? You go watch too many home videos. Let me tell you the truth. In Christ Jesus, you are free. What did I say? In Christ Jesus, you are safe. Listen, if you like, stand on the road. We're only boxers. Let everybody touch you everywhere. Nothing is disappearing from your body. They can't use you to make money. You know, I don't know. And people now be afraid that thank God that boy was just narrowly delivered. They were already doing the incantation on his head. And people now be afraid. Listen, let me just tell you the truth. If you're a Christian, they can't use you to make money. They can't use your children to. They can't. It is not possible. I'm not talking about prayer. I know there's like, we have prayed against them. Ask my wife here. I have never, you know, there are prayer points that don't enter our home. All those who want to use me or my lady to make money. In fact, number one, my wife, no, I don't even believe such things. I don't, now, I'm not saying it doesn't happen like ever, but it's a rarity. Yes, most such people, their arrows enter their own hearts. Let me just leave it like that. You now see Christians on, that is, you see Christians, they are annoyingly afraid. That is, they just get you angry. Like the one that my wife was telling me about that day, she got angry with the lady. That look at you. When I tell you to come and hear the word of God, you won't have time. Somebody is begging you for money now. You are afraid to give because you are afraid that this may be a spirit that wants to make me poor. Why can't it be an Elijah that I'm supposed to give to and my money will never finish? Are you getting my point? No, but that's the way me I interpret it. The only problem I have with such things, the only problem is that God, let it not be Jesus Christ that's wearing dirty clothes now that you refuse to give. You know, it happens. Yeah, no, that's what the Bible says. Jesus will just go and wear one dirty cloth. And come, please give me money. Go away, this is my offering. Then you come, drop in the basket. And say, this basket, take it to the Lord for me and bring something back. Meanwhile, the Lord was there. Before you enter the church, say, give me something to eat. Go away. Why have you not eaten? Where's your father? You'll be asking questions that you know the answer to. Those are the only things those are the only things I concern myself about on such matters. But that I will give you money, you will negatively affect my life. No. It's not possible. What did I say?
It's not possible.
You only, if I dash you money, the only thing that can happen, one of two things. Either nothing beyond the ordinary will happen, or two, abundant blessing will be multiplied to me. There's no third option. Even if I gave the money to the devil, that Satan himself, he comes, and I dip my hand in my pocket and I put the money into Satan's hand. He just got blessed. The much of blessing he can receive. He can never have a negative effect in my life. He came begging. I didn't go and give him an offering in a shrine. Ha! Please, though. I want you to be angry. What did I say? No, I mean it. Be very angry. That this, if just think, say, me. I've been behaving like this before. Like I told you the story. Somebody where I was in the market was one day. Somebody splashed water. The person I was with said, let's go. They are splashing water. The water touched me too, but I didn't think anything of it. It is water, H2O. It's not acid. If it's acid, it might burn. It's water. You don't know people. I don't know them. I know myself. I know my God. I know greater is he that is in me. That is the one I know. I don't care about them. I'm not saying that there are no crazy people out there. I know they are there. I'm just saying that they can't look, they can't do anything to me. They say, don't let anybody touch your head in the market. Your brain might disappear. And you know, Christians, people who go to church, they believe such things. Some of them that wear cap, they're not trying to look like Boy Alinko. All they are trying to do is just make sure nobody can touch them. They watch one video. So somebody might say, maybe your baby's head. You know it happens. You know, this is Africa. We back children. And sometimes women have children on their back. And there's nothing, it's not a cake, it's good. If you have a very good, there's this one they use on my side of the country. Very broad cloth like this. You tie the child nicely. It's good. There's nothing wrong with it. Just when your boomer doesn't know how to do it, not making it look as if it's old-fashioned. It's not old-fashioned, okay? It's not old-fashioned. You know, those days, my side of the country, if you marry, one of the things they give the woman as wedding present. Now, plenty of that means one picking for each one without shoe. You know, that kind of thing. So sometimes, you know, have children, they can, but because the child is on the back, and maybe it's not well strapped in, and the child is sleeping, the head bends one kind. So usually, even I do it. If I say that, I'll say, madam, wait, your child's head is not well arranged. You help the person put the child, the stuff back. And in fact, they have a saying in Yoruba land that says like this, that an elder cannot be in the market and their infant's head will be out of order. There's a saying like that. So what they mean simply is that if a woman is backing a child and the baby's head is not well arranged, a senior person will go there, stop the woman, and help arrange properly, balance the whole cloth that's holding the child up. But having watched some home videos, that's where I'm going, of which Patience Ozokwo is a senior witch. And give me another name, a small girl. Give me a name now. And Rita Dominic is the apprentice witch. And they are looking for a baby for sacrifice. They will now enter a bus. And Patience Ozokwo will now touch a baby and say, oh, madam, your baby's head is not well arranged. You now help arrange the baby's head. Then at night, that baby will start convulsing. By midnight, the baby will die. Then they now show you another scene in which the baby's soul has arrived at the coven and they are eating the baby's heart and brain and kidneys. And thereby making Peter Dominic, she was doing her confirmation as a witch. After that, Christians will go out, the baby on their back. If you come near. If you dare say, let me, I come Holy Ghost fire. All of you. The person go look like, what is going on? Madam, I'm very sorry. You won't get me. This baby is a child of God. All of you. If you are sure it's a child of God, why didn't you just leave the baby alone? You know, when I see those things, I'm embarrassed for Christianity. I know this is a painful part. They will not get back to church. And start praying against all the people that want to vanish the souls of their babies. They don't learn anything. That is, all the experiences reinforce falsehood. And then if a baby now has malaria, critically sick, and is in hospital, while they are treating the baby, they are bringing check over. You enter a bus. Did anybody greet you people anyhow? Did anybody touch the baby? It's mosquito that touched the baby. No, they don't think that is the whole mentality is warped. People enter into bondage thinking they are entering into freedom. They now start going to churches where they are attacking their enemies morning, afternoon, and night. A serious waste of time. They are not safer. Now, get my point. You are not safer. Wake up and pray from 12 midnight till 5 a.m. against enemies. You are not safer. You die at 6 a.m. Because all of your prayer was fear. God was not listening because you were not talking to him. You were magnifying your fear, magnifying Satan. Go and listen to those prayers. Every time you hear Satan 6 times, Jesus once. The only thing that sounds like God throughout is Holy Ghost fire. Which in the Bible, the only time you see it, it comes upon you, not your enemies. Have you not noticed it? When you saw Holy Ghost fire in the Bible, did it was in the camp of the enemy. It fell upon all that were gathered in the upper room. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. It never went to scatter their enemies. They were wasting precious fire. You want your enemies to be more anointed than you. All my enemies, Holy Ghost fire. Nothing for you again. That is you, you're cold. No anointing, no power, nothing. Why? All the power is on your enemies. Then they come. You come to work, they are bolder. Why? You've anointed them. Because anytime Holy Ghost fire falls, it makes you bold. So you can speak the word of God with boldness. It makes the power of God flow through your hands to do healings. So your enemies are stronger in doing wickedness. Why? You anointed them with Holy Ghost fire. Why am I talking like this today? Well, Christians, I don't know why I say like this. But let me just emphasize it. You've been confused long enough. What did I say? Funny enough, it's just drop in my mind that it's not everybody that should repeat that. So nobody should say it. I'm just telling somebody. You have been confused long enough. They have worried you long enough. You have wasted the anointing of God, anointing your enemies, shouting Holy Ghost fires on people that you should have been shouting nothing on. Your next Holy Ghost fire should be on your own head. And you enter your closet tonight, you say, upon my head, Holy Ghost fire. There's one song we used to sing those days. Fire, 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 fall on me. Don't you like that one? Fire, 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 fall on me. The Pentecost fire. How did he say it again? Holy Ghost fire, fire, fall on. Let us sing it, Joe. Holy Ghost fire, fire, fall on me. Not on my enemies, oh. Like the day of Pentecost. Fire, fall on me, me, not my enemies. Now, that your song don't change, oh. Go and tell everybody in town that you people have corrupted the song of God. We want to reinstate the correct singing. When they chant, all my enemies, Holy Ghost fire, I say, wait, Holy Ghost fire, fire, fall on me. Don't fall on my enemies. They will not be anointed. You see how confusion has come into our lives in Christianity? And then everybody say, all my enemies, Holy Ghost fire. That's why they don't have any power in their lives again. I pray that we will go to church the way we gather and everybody starts saying, upon my head, Holy Ghost, fire. Next day, there will be revival all over town. Holy Ghost fire doesn't pursue your enemies. It falls on you, makes you bold. You know why? Holy Spirit is not afraid of your enemies. It's not. I'm not emphasizing to us again. That's how God made us. He said, greater is he that is in you. Say it, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Say like you believe it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Listen, he said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's where you are dwelling that matters. And that's what we're saying last time. You know, that's why I just went into reviewing that briefly. All right? That is, we don't need to worry ourselves with what is happening outside in that regard, as long as we are sure we have kept ourselves inside. And that's why we've been talking about prayer and personal purification. That is, all the devil ever does is to try and draw us from inside to the outside. Balaam came, Israel was inside. So he told Balak, as long as they are inside, we cannot do anything. So let's draw them outside. How do we draw them outside? We send temptations, all right? We send sexual immorality into their camp. Once they get into that, even their own God will turn against them. By that time, they are outside the garden. They will have walked out of the hedge of God, the hedge that he put around Job. Job will have, by getting involved with those immoralities, removed himself from under that cover. And Satan will have been very happy. Say, oh God, Job, thank you. Thank you for coming out. Are you getting my point? So what do? We ensure we don't come out. And I said, we'll do that with prayer. It's not just by determination alone. Yes, it starts with the desire. It starts with the determination. But because life can be tempting, there may be pressures in life, what we do is pray. He said, Jesus spoke like, he said, pray that you do not fall into temptations. Pray that you do not enter into temptation. He told the disciples. So when they did not pray, all right, like he said they should, they were sleeping. He still had mercy on them, but he had to show them through the life of Peter how things work. That is, he would have had the same problem, except that he went into the garden and he prayed until the angels of God came and strengthened him. For him, temptation was to walk away from the plan of God for his life. No, listen, that is a serious matter. I just feel like staying there for a moment. There are times you are in a place, and these are things that have happened both to me, people have come to me for counsel and all of that, and people will start putting pressure on you that if you move from here and go here, things will be better for you. You are working in Enugu here. Why don't you just leave Enugu here and go down to Port Harcourt? Things will be better. And now sometimes, and they're not telling you stories. And indeed, for some people, it works like that. Because God has a location for everybody. Maybe they left Enugu and went to Port Harcourt, and by so doing, they walked into the will of God for their lives. They now think it is Enugu to Port Harcourt that is the issue. Now, listen to the Bible just now, and I realize that, you know, we always say all the time that David came against Goliath with stone and sling. Actually, David did not come against Goliath with stone and sling. He said, I come against you in the name of the Lord. You understand my point? So if the Lord carried stone and sling, we use it. Stone and sling is not a key to killing giants. He never used it the second time. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? Next time he took a sword. But whatever it is that he was doing, he was coming in the name of the Lord of Israel. That was the issue. Please, you are getting what I'm going to explain. So for one man, he may have left Enugu and gone to Port Harcourt and his life changed. One man left Enugu and went to America, his life changed. Does not mean that that is the only way God saves now. And sometimes you feel you are located in the place where you are supposed to be, and pressure comes. Pressure is on you, morning, afternoon, and night. Listen, if you are under pressure long enough, sometimes you budge. So what do? It is time to what? To pray. I've told you my own story again and again. I've been doing ministry in this very place where we are, meeting on Saturdays and Tuesdays. Now, Tuesdays came later, but Saturdays for over 10 years. I've heard all kinds of things. Why don't you just move it to Sunday? After all, you're already doing church care, you know that kind of thing. I mean, you say you meet on Tuesday, what do you do? Prayer. And then Saturday night, that's two services in a week. I mean, that's already a church. Just change it to Sunday. If it's already a church, then leave it like that now. I don't know whether you're getting my point. If it's already a church, why are you not telling me to, you know? Why? And my mom was telling me that. Say, listen, people are not faithful. You bless them on Saturday, they take their offerings to their churches on Sunday. So what are you saying, sir? Start your services on Sunday so you can be there to receive the offering. I said, thank you, sir. Now, some things are not temptations for me. Generally speaking, they are temptations. But personally speaking, they are not temptations. God strengthened me against such things long ago. Long ago. So that one ended after a while. I know they listened. Then another one came. I know that one is like, this is very nice. But you know, you can bless more people. Now, that's very sensible. That is good. Some people will not bother to come and hear the word of God in the evening on a Saturday. But on Sunday, everybody has to go somewhere. Is that not good? No, think about it. One woman my wife invited here one day, by the time she finished, I don't know whether she came once or a few times, she was so tremendously blessed. I was asking my wife, why does your husband not pastor a church? We are looking for a church to go to. Many people are looking for this kind of church to go to. But the many people are so busy, they don't have time to come on Saturday evening. See what I'm saying? I won't lie to you. That particular reasoning was the only one that got my attention for a brief period. Now, what do I mean? Because it actually made me pray. So that, now, so what are you praying about? I just wanted to be sure that I was not being stubborn. Until, of course, and that's what I wanted to share about this evening. until the Lord gave me insight. And I realized where it's crucial that, at least for now, and I've been saying this at least for now for the last 10 years, that we do this thing the way we do it currently. Just for those who are wondering what I'm talking about, but they understand what I mean by that understanding, it affects the kind of message you preach. Yeah, it does. It does. No, it's not about wickedness. So it's not as if you modify your message. If everybody comes with very shallow minds, you understand, and you have to bless them. Once you go deep, you lose them. You feel the anointing kind of. So when you know what's happening, you come up a bit lighter. You understand? You know, you come lighter, and then you stay there. One of my friends just said simply, many people are already doing that. I think we have plenty of that. There are things that I hear from your mouth I don't hear from other places. So you have to continue the way you are doing so that we can continue to connect at that particular level. Not a big deal. I mean, what I mean is, it's not a big deal if you do it the other way. All right? It's not wrong. But if you do that, then somebody else has to take up the one you are doing currently. Somebody else has to. And do you have somebody else to do that? You know, that kind of thing. So, now, all of, let me tell you, temptations are not always evil in the way we look at it. Temptations are not always, like the case I went to attend to this morning. I had to go to court for something. All right. And so the lawyer was telling me the issues about it and all of that. That normally what they would do is this kind of thing. They would pay off the prosecution and all of that. You know, that's temptation. You know, money, take, pervert justice. That's one kind of temptation. Okay. But there's another kind of temptation which is just as bad. That's the one that good Christians, in quotes now, if you're a good Christian, you have to be very careful about. That is the one that has good attached to it. They say, do good. What do I mean? It is simple. Jesus is going. He said, I will be killed. Why should they kill you? Nothing evil must happen to you. You see that? That's it. There's not nobody saying steal anything. We're trying to protect you. You are a blessing to the generation. Why should we let anything bad happen to you? But Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Because it was not a right thing. There's another one. Jesus came. And the Roman government was a bad government. Herod was a bad king. And the people said, now that you have come, we shall mobilize and make you our king. Then you can bless them with this kind of Solomonic amplified wisdom. You know, there's Solomon's wisdom, then there's Solomon's wisdom that's amplified, that we have descended in you. Israel will prosper. In fact, we are going to make you king. Listen, that is why it sounds good does not make it right. I don't know whether you get my point. It might be good, but it does not make it right. And it is temptation, actually, which you also have to resist. It's also temptation, which you must resist. And it is more terrible when it is good. That is, the resisting of it is more difficult. After a while, with all the visions and revelations that Mary had, do you know they were able to mobilize her to come and talk to Jesus to please come home? Do you know that? They were able to mobilize Mother Mary. Holy Mary, full of grace. They mobilized her. So, you know, some people think that the woman never did anything wrong. That is the pressure. It's not her fault. As a young woman, angel appeared. She conceived miraculously. Delivered in a strange place. The child, I mean, she saw the hand of God everywhere. Yet! That is a problem with good temptation. No, my good. Temptation that appears good. Look at how he's disgracing the family. We are not saying he should not do ministry. He can do ministry. But this one that is abusing Pharisees every day, how will the Pharisees believe? The whole family gathered. After a while, Mary said, okay, I've heard. We are coming. You know, he doesn't listen to anybody. Apart from you. So let us go now. That was how they mobilized how. She went there. Look, the good, nice temptations of that, the difficult, the dangerous ones. You could not have bribed his mother to come. It's not possible. You could not have done anything, but you're the one like, look at it. Is it good? Is it, well, it's a son of God? We're not saying it's not a son of God. But should they kill a son of God suddenly like this? After a while, she had to agree. Thank God Jesus understood. He said, your mother and your brother are looking for you. He said, they can't be looking for me. They are here. He said, no, we mean your mother and your brother. They are outside. He said, no. Look at them. Anyone that hears the word of God and does the word of God, the same is my mother and my brother and my sister. So see, they are all with me. I can't go outside. I mean, I warned you. Stop embarrassing me. After that, I believe she not going to answer them again. Oh, you wicked souls. You want to lead me to make him derail from his ministry. That is the problem in life oftentimes. Somebody came to Jesus and said, look, I will serve you, but let me first go home and go and bury my father. Look, his father wasn't dead, you must understand. What happened is his father was old. So he had to go home and stay with his father, take care of his father, until the man would die, they will now be free. And that was a temptation. What I'm trying to say, that's when we need to pray. Maybe it was not a very terrible thing because I had a lot of understanding. But those are the kind of temptations that, in quote, good people face. You know, this is not what I'm supposed to do. They say, you can't help people like that. Listen, you are not here to help people. Amen? I pray you understand. I'm giving you Oswald Chambers' words. You are not here to help people. You are here to obey the word of God. It is the Father that is helping people. Oswald Chambers said it like this, that Jesus didn't come to save the world. That he came to do the will of the Father. That it was the Father that was saving the world. For God so loved the world. It was the Father loving the world, not Jesus Christ. That he came to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father, as far as Jesus explained it to us, the way he explained it, that listen, sometimes it will appear as if you hate your father and your mother. I told you once, I don't know whether you remember this story, a friend of mine came to see me. Nigeria was tough that time, you know. People say it's tough now. Well, maybe for me personally, it's much less, you know, toughness. And financially, I can do literally, this is not literally, I can do 50 times or maybe 100 times, all right, now what I could do that time. But then if I could buy a loaf of bread, now I can buy 100 loaves. So personally, maybe it's much easier. But generally, forget just personally. I mean, when I came to Enugu, they told me that before Obasanjo came into power, there were very few cars in UNTH. After Obasanjo took over as president, over the next few years, there was no parking space in UNTH. They moved to the new site with a vast amount of land. There's still no parking space. Because everybody, young boys, young doctors, nurses, lab scientists, all of them, they buy cars. That time, they couldn't. I told the story then, I didn't used to go anywhere. You had been paid an equivalent of $50 in a month. That's how it was. My salary was $50 in a month. All right? So if you calculate into this naira, you know how much it came to. I was a post-NYC medical doctor. And everybody was rushing to embassies, and I said, I'm not going. Everybody wanted to go abroad. I said, I don't have to go abroad. Why? Because the word of the Lord had come to me before saying, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I didn't feel the pressure to go anywhere, even though I knew there were problems everywhere. One of my chiefs said he spent all his salary buying postage stamps. There were no email was not like this that time. Everything you wanted to send abroad, you sent by post. He said, Banky, all my money went into buying postage stamp because you send letter to US, letter to UK, letter to other parts of Europe, letter to Bahamas, letter to all the Caribbean islands. He sent letters. He said he will earn salary. He will take more than a tithe and an offering. Post office. There are times he will post letters with a whole month's salary. People wanted to get out desperately. And I don't know, I would just sit down in my house in Lagos. I said, all I need to do is to keep studying. I don't have to go anywhere. I didn't have the money to go anywhere. I was a country, money had more value that time. Yes, the value was so high, I bought only used shirts. You can imagine. And they work for a teaching hospital. I'll be a doctor. I said, no, they don't open bill. Now would they go buy shirts? No, it's funny. No, now my colleagues want to buy shirts. They walk into twice as nice there and pick up TM Lee shirts. Who born who? What was TM Lee? What was TM Lee? Nobody understood what was TM Lee. Only TM Lee you wore. One white man, don't use it, don't tire. Don't drop it. I'm serious. And we wore them with pride. I'm not lying to you. God knows, I'm telling you the things the way they were. I said, anybody, if you do not want to give you money, come before the 15th of the month. I usually go broke around the 12th. No, not a joke. This day, sometimes the other day I pick one of my trousers, I was washed, put my hand in the pocket, 3,000 naira. I said, man, things don't change. That time. Nonsense. By the 15th of the month, me, I personally searched all the pockets. What nonsense are you telling me? No, because I want to forget money for pocket. I did forget. But I don't find them by myself. No, because I will come wear the trousers, I can't find money inside. Lie, lie. But in all of that, I'll just sit down. I just sit down and relax. The boys were hustling here and there. Oh, God, I read a lot of Bible. I read Bible. I read. Now, this is what I'm talking about. So one day, a friend of mine came to see me. Age mate, but he did a first degree before he went to study medicine in Ibadan. So he was therefore far behind me in schooling. So he just finished that and I was a resident. How far? He says he's planning to go to South Africa and all of that. So again, you know, what each person sees differs. So I couldn't see what they were seeing. Though we were in the midst of everything, but I was happy. I mean, I had a reputation. I was a happy person. You get my point? I was a very sincere person. I didn't know how to pretend. I was happy, you know? So I couldn't understand what the issue was. He said, Banky, you know, you are lucky. He now began to tell me that, look, Shane, I've already moved. I'm already resident now, that he has problems. He kept on talking. I noticed this point I'm trying to make. By the time he finished talking about all the challenges he had, he explained the fact that his sister had a serious health challenge, with the money to correct it, all right, was huge. And that who else will come up with the money? He's a family friend. I know his father, I know his mother, all right? That who else will come up with the money? That is him. That I can't just relax like this, that he has to go out and hustle for money. I remember that night, I almost cried. You know why? Suddenly something hits me that I'm very selfish. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I was relaxed. I was not thinking about other people. Look at how this guy was thinking about his sister, thinking about his family, that you, uncle. It hits me. That night I laid down and said, Banky, how could you be so stupid? Suddenly everything I thought I understood was scattered in my head. And I laid down, you know, groaning and meditating and feeling bad. Father in heaven, what's going on? Then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, except a man hates his father and his mother, he can't be my disciple. Then I realized something. No, you cannot love your father and your mother and your sister enough, Banky, listen to me, to leave the order I have placed your life in. You can't disrupt it. I went to go and join a church, one very popular church. If I mention the name, all of you will know it. One of the most famous churches in Nigeria. And that was the day I entered. I said, let me join this ministry and settle down and work. And it's as if they planted two angels there to throw me out. I've told the story a number of times, so people are very close to me. I entered this church, I've been many times. And as soon as I sat down, it's as if the angels just took a nylon bag, you know, polythene bag, and just put it over my head and tied it. I could not breathe. I struggled. I'll do like this. The breath will go in and out. But once I finished, it would be as if I was choking, I was about to die. Something in me, as that was going on, you are in the wrong place. I didn't send you here. You are in the wrong place. You are not supposed to be. I just knew that was what was going on. As soon as the service ended, I got up and ran. I don't mean that I walked out. Very big church, there were many people. I ran through the crowd, dashed out of the place. As soon as I got outside, I became free. I look at that building. Hey, church. So I'm not coming here again. I never entered the place again apart from one day. That happened in 1995, I'm sure. Around middle of 95. I never entered that denomination again apart from once when one of my friends got married there. And the Sunday after, they were doing Thanksgiving. So we came in. There's another part of town now. Another part of Nigeria. That was the only day. When they talk here, talk good there, I just say, I just keep quiet. I say, me? Please, I love long life and prosperity. The Holy Spirit has made it clear to me, if you enter that place, somebody will choke you, will die one day. Now, I'm not a bringer of an issue. Listen, I'm not bragging on myself. You understand my point? But Jesus talk. You understand? And he knows where he's coming from. I know God prepared me, took time to teach the word of God. I don't make a mess of it. That is not a joke. Can't use anything to entice me. I don't want to die suddenly, honestly. Love my wife too much. The one with the pain, they will not give her to another person. That's the one where I don't go agree. I don't go agree that one. The Lord is good. I know the Lord is good. For that reason, all the good temptations of life, I have to resist them. I have to resist them. So when my friend was speaking that day, I felt bad. Bad because I suddenly felt like a wicked and selfish person. Yes, you are confident. What about everybody else around you? But as Chambers said, the cost of discipleship is not what it costs you as an individual. It's what it costs those that you love. Now, what's my message? Our time has gone, so I have to wrap it up here. The message is the fact that, how do you handle such times? You get on your knees, though. You get on your knees, and you pray. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Nevertheless, not my will. That is, there's nothing. Look, if a man of faith understands what everybody else understands, it's just that he understands some things other people don't understand. Are there troubles? Yes, of course, I knew all the troubles that time. I knew the troubles. I knew how bad things were. I remember the day they told me my father was ill. I didn't have money to transport myself home to go and see him. I had enough to pay the transport. How you walk home? You pay transport, you come in empty-handed. I knew how bad things were. But there's one word I never forgot. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. When temptations came and said, listen, move the way everybody is moving. Do what everybody else is doing. This is a way to break out of this poverty that everybody is experiencing. I said no. But the no was not easy. There are times people that is pressure. Then you get home and you pray. There's a way God answers it. There are times you just close all the doors. They say, okay, satisfy them. Try one door. Bam! They close it against you. Break your toe in the process. Try the next one. Bam! Close it against you. Break your little finger in the process. Then they say, guys, easy. I told you I was not in the first place. There's a way. That's one of the ways he does it. Other ways, he just removes the desire from your heart. I've had people tell me that, look, this is where I am. This is how much I'm earning. It's not fantastic. And my friends are sending me forms. Look, fill this form, fill the form. Say, please, I talk to them. I feel I am in the place where I'm supposed to be, at least for this season. It happens. Good temptation is the problem of Christians. That's real Christians. Real Christians. That is people who love God. Not, you know, not people who come church, come so. You know what I'm trying to say? They are those who say that if you are looking for a husband, go to that church. They donate husband there. You go. They look for children, go to this other one. They donate children there. You go. You are looking for, you got the look, just that one will be Christianity. That is, I want to have my needs met. I want to take care of, you know, the needs of today by force. I'm worldly minded. I'm trying to achieve what everybody is achieving. So let me use God to reach that purpose. If you go to that church, they will show you how to sow a seed, you get a car, you go there. Listen, as a Christian, don't ever go up and down looking for anything more than where you will discover the true knowledge of God. When you do that, all other things are added unto you. Anything you have turned into prayer point morning, afternoon, and night, sowing seed towards God hasn't given you yet. No, that's a matter of fact, too. That's true Christianity. He hasn't given you yet. What you need is the knowledge of God. That's what I want to talk about today. That's why we read that portion. I just ended up not commenting about it. What you need is what? The knowledge of God. That's what you need. He said, those that know their God. That's what I want to actually discuss. We read that one from that Daniel just now. He said that all these temptations of life, he said, these people will be corrupted by smooth words. Smooth words. You must understand the smooth words. That is, it will sound nice. Everything they are saying will sound good and authentic and, you know, have a good disposition towards it. They will be corrupted. He said, but it's only those who know their God that will be strong And despite all these pressures, they will do valiantly. That is, knowledge is what they need. So what a Christian needs, that's what I want to talk about today, I didn't get into it, is to pray as part of personal purification, to continuously pray for the knowledge of God. Most of my talk today has been on the fact that you have to avoid good temptation. You understand my point? But in everything, we'll talk about it next time. I was hoping to get into it today, but I didn't get into it. You must pray for the knowledge of God. You must pray for understanding. You must. That's the number one thing you need. It helps you stand against temptations. Understanding. It said those who know their God, they are the ones that will display strength and take action. They are the ones that will do valiantly. And knowledge, you pray for it. Apart from the fact that you walk, you know, you study. But the first thing you do is you pray. That efficient prayer that Ken Hagin taught us is very important. We'll take it next time. Let's save time and close on time today. It's very important you pray that prayer. It helps you. It's not only preachers. I am a teacher of the Word of God. So sometimes people get confused. That it's because you have to teach. That's why you need all of. No. You need insight to do your business well. You need insight to run your home well. You need insight to run your career. Anything you want to run, you need insight. We're talking about here to keep yourself pure. To keep yourself pure. Some of these people call temptation. I don't call them temptations. That to me is not a temptation. Do you understand? They are temptations. But some things people call temptations, they don't call them, they call them poison. What's temptation is that you want to give you plenty of money? I've understood life enough to know that money doesn't make sense. I don't know that they get my point. Can be poor today, rich tomorrow, poor the day after. From understanding the word of God, I know that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. I'm aware of the fact that if you change this, my suit today, and change it to a pure, high quality Armani, the first day, I will feel good in it. Second day, I'll feel good in it. By the third day, I'm back to the feeling I had today. That's the way it is. That's just the way it is. You know, just by the way, you know, mobile phones, they're always changing new model. As iPhone 4 was coming out, Galaxy S3 came out, iPhone 4S came out with it, then Galaxy S4 came out, and then iPhone 5 showed up. You know, they'll just be competing. But somebody said, by the time they're releasing one, they made the next one. Waiting for you to just buy this one, then they confuse your soul again. So I told people, I said, listen, make up your mind what you need. Buy it, hold it, endure it for the period of time that you should endure it. Carry your eye away from all kinds of temptations. When I got the phone, I was using that right now. A month later, LG released their own version with double the RAM of my own at 5,000 naira cheaper. I was like this, leave me alone, I'm not tempted. You know why the temptation is simple? Because I came to an understanding that, listen, after 2 days, you are back to the same place in your heart. And that's what matters, the gladness in your heart. So if you cannot tap into gladness in God, money won't give it to you. You see all these evil actors that be changing husband every other week. That's what happens. When you just see the guy for the first time, you won't die. Oh, God, this is the man. You will come out for this one, marry that one. After 1 week, you realize that all these men are the same. They're all demon-possessed. Understanding gives you that. That's what I say. So some things are not temptation because of understanding. What do we need as Christians? He said, those that know their God, they are the ones that will show strength. They are the ones that will display strength and take good action. They are the ones that will do valiantly. So we need to pray that we may get into that deep knowledge of God. I hope I've spoken the word of God to you this evening. If you are blessed, say an amen.
Amen.
Let's just bow down our heads and just say, Father, thank you. We are closing right away. Just say, Father, thank you. Just say, Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your insight. Just say, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your insight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. And I declare your blessing upon your people again. You are blessing your going out and your coming in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No evil will befall you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In every experience of your life, God will lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. You will understand the face of God better every day in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I declare that it is well with you. I said that your hand is filled with the blessing of God. Amen. And anything you touch is blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you touch your body and say to it, peace be upon you, the peace of God will permeate that body and bring healing to you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is well within your going out and your coming in. Your future is bright, your future is secure.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.